Great time with family. As you know, I had some computer problems, so I was blessed with a little computer. Cool, eh? I'm just concerned it's called a playbook. I'm hoping it can work as well. Not only play. In any case, we'll see if it works this morning. I'll try to use it now. At this time of the year, it's we tend to make New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you do those. You know, some people make lists, think about things. You know, what do you want to do differently? And the guy at the conference, one of the speakers, said something that really struck me. He said, normally we tend to, when we think about stuff like New Year's resolutions, we think around, what am I going to do differently? So I'm going to exercise, or I'm going to start a new hobby, or I'm going to learn to play an instrument, or whatever. You know, you've got something, or you're going to, you know, improve in a certain area. And he said, the mistake we make is we focus on the stuff that we want to do, and then sometimes it doesn't last long, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes it's kind of yes, great intention, and then three days or maybe 3 weeks down the line, you know, it's kind of not always happening as you thought. But what he said is, he said that one should rather focus on, you know, start with who is it that I want to become? Who is it that I want to become in this year? Do I want to become a better dad? Do I want to become a disciple? Do I want to, whatever, who is it that I want to become? And then from that point, say, okay, what will it take for me to see that change in my life? In other words, then we get to action points. What actions do I need to take? What steps do I need to take to bring about this change in my life? And he reckons that, and it makes a lot of sense, that then, because we have this clear goal, a destination in mind of becoming somebody or something, it's as if the actual doing has more sense and has more purpose in it. Okay. But as we get into the Word this morning, let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, this morning we rejoice, God. It's a new year, Lord. It's, as your Word says, your mercies are new every morning. And even this new year and this new morning, we know your mercies are new for us, Lord. Your provision is new, Lord. And even as we heard from the words and testimonies this morning, we thank you, God, that you have gone before us. We thank you for everything that you've prepared for us, Lord. We stand here in awe, Lord, of faithfulness in the past year, but also with an excitement and an expectation for this year, God. Lord, and it's such a privilege to come and draw near to you, Lord, and to come into your presence this morning, God. And we consecrate this time to you. We thank you for your Word, Lord. We thank you that it's alive in us and through us. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and change us and make us and transform us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Read with me from Romans 8, and just in lieu of what we just said in terms of becoming, I'm going to look at let's just read first, Romans 8, from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become the image of, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we like the verse 28, we often quote it, but it's very powerful to see what comes after. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So as Christians and as believers, if we're looking for at the year ahead and our to-do list and our action points would look different for each of us, I'm sure. And we've got different things that we're expecting and we're looking forward to. But I think this thing we have in common is that we know that we are called and we are destined to become like Christ. And if that's, I reckon if that is the, if that's the center of what we plan for, what we prepare for, is that if that is the main focus of what action points I'm going to set in place in my life, then we're off to a good start. So we are destined to become like Christ. Wherever you are in life, wherever you find yourself, in which situation or job or family situation, in that situation, God has put us, has put you and I in our situation, so that we can become like Jesus. And the challenge is, and I thank you for that word, enemy. Often we don't see that. You know, we're in a situation, our eyes we're not seeing clearly, and we think, let me just make it through this. This season, then I can carry on with becoming like Jesus, or you know, becoming whatever God has called me to be. And God is saying, no, you know, it's kind of, no. You're in this situation so that you can become like Christ, so that you can be transformed, so that you can be changed. We mentioned this a week or two ago, but I just want to, at the beginning of this year, encourage us and challenge us. Are we willing to be changed? Are we willing to grow? Now, when we talk about growth, it all sounds very positive and we're very keen. But growth means change. Growth means so there are going to be times when I realize that I don't agree with the Word, or the Word is not really happening in my life, and the Word is not going to change. Christ is not going to change. And that means I'm going to have to change. There's something that's going to shift, and I have to commit to that. I have to commit to being changed. Commit to the process of growth. To quote that guy, Rick Russo, that spoke at our conference in September, he said, unfortunately, we don't change because we get a revelation. Hopefully it's like that sometimes, but mostly we change only when the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of change. Okay, and some of you will remember me mentioning this, but yeah, that's something to mull over. You know, are you staying where you are because you know the pain isn't enough yet, or you know, have you already received a revelation but haven't put it into action? But let's this year come to a place where we really pursue becoming more like Jesus and changing to be like Him. Okay, so that's just in terms of introduction and putting a bit of context. But let's look at what we've started looking at in the last few weeks, the concept of discipleship. And I want to encourage us, we'll hopefully look at this more as we go along in this year, and hopefully, yeah, we'll make it more practical as well. But let's read from Matthew 28, which is kind of our big plan and what the mandate that Christ has given us. Matthew 28 verse 18. Verse 18 to 20. Read with me. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And we see Christ here giving what we call the Great Commission. And this was very close to the time when he ascended into heaven. So this is kind of his kind of last impartation. He's kind of handing over the baton, saying, guys, this is what I'm all about. This is why I was here. This is why I'm, you know, you guys are continuing the work. Go. And he goes, go into all the world. Mark chapter 16, we see similar thing when he's saying to them, go to every nation, go to preach the gospel to every creature. And very powerful, very kind of a broad vision, a broad mandate. But if you look at our purpose statement as Shofar, it's actually just that in different words. But that's what we're all about. Our purpose statement is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making leadership development, and church planting. So we've kind of made it a little bit more specific, but that's what we're about. This is why we're here, is to run with the Great Commission. So in this year, I'm trusting that we as a congregation here will get a more of an understanding of this is our bigger picture mandate, our bigger picture vision, as most believers have, the mandate of the Great Commission. But I trust that we will get a greater understanding of the specific mandate that we have in this community. So a few things that God has already laid on my heart, and I'm just going to drop them, and you know, we're going to work through them, and I'm going to trust that we, and the sisters, we'll pray through it as well. But one of the things that I feel is that us as a congregation are called to be a bread basket, to provide, to be a source of life in different ways. It could be resource-wise, and also feel in terms of leaders, in terms of supporters, supporting ministers. So I've had a picture of from this place, just blessing going out in terms of people. We have families moving out, but you know, I reckon we should see that as you know, we're sending a blessing, and we're sending incredible people, incredible family of God. And you know, we've seen that in the past as well, but even in the future, I've seen a lot of blessings sending out and being sent out from here in terms of resources, in terms of people supporting church plants, supporting but also leaders, church leaders and business leaders. And I'm just briefly mentioning this, but I want to encourage you to pray around us and that we can continue to seek God about it. Another thing I felt was that in prayer, and also I believe in relationships, that we're going to have an influence in local government and also maybe beyond that, in terms of the leaders that are in the community and even, yeah, leaders of our country and leaders in our government. So in prayer and in different ways, and the Lord has already connected us in strange ways and allowed us to minister there. So, and another thing is I felt is an anointing to intercede. And that's a word that was brought by Apostle Lucille on the camp, just an anointing to open up the wells, to pray and to trust God to reopen wells through intercession. We reopen wellsprings of life, of salvation. So please, yeah, it's all of these things, things we need to pray through, things we need to trust God to formulate and clarify. So I want to encourage you to, and if you feel also, if you have something else in your heart you want to add to this, we want to kind of get to grips with, yes, we know what the bigger mandate is, but what is the specific mandate for us here? What is our purpose? What has God given us to do here in terms of the local community and our purpose here? So in the context of that, going forward to looking at the discipleship and the manner that God has given us to make disciples. Now, you must focus here. God doesn't call us, if you read there in Matthew 28, He's not called us to make converts, okay? And that's something I must say, when I got to know a bit more of, you know, what the giftings that God gives us mean and how we operate in them, I realize that I enjoy evangelism. And evangelists sometimes miss this bit. We reckon converts, and then we kind of run forward from there, and it's not right, okay? If we don't do evangelism in terms of the focus, with the end goal of making a disciple, then we're missing it. If we're going to, we can't just do hit and run ministry. So he's called us to make disciples. But you remember Pastor Tien's mentioned a few definitions around that. And if I'm going to encourage you, if you weren't here when Pastor Tien's was here, to please listen to his sermon on, it's on the web, and you can get the download. But I've got another one here from Dallas Willard that I want to just read. It's a long one, so it's not a one to memorize, but it's got a few very key things in here. Dallas Willard says, a disciple is a person who has decided that the most important thing in their life is to learn how to do what Jesus said to do. A disciple is not a person who has things under control or knows a lot of things. Disciples simply are people who are constantly revising their affairs to carry through on their decision to follow Jesus. So there's a few key things here. And for us, looking at being a disciple, but also making disciples. These are a few very key things here. Firstly, a person that has decided the most important thing in their life. Okay, so that's a crucial thing. The most important thing is to learn how to do what Jesus said to do. So, again, look, you know, when you look at the new year, if we're going to become like Christ, this is exactly what he's saying here. That kind of prioritizing to become and to do what Jesus said to do. So it's not to do with being perfect, it's not to do with a lot of knowledge, it's not to do with having everything under control. And I think this is also something we miss. There's a perception that I can only make a disciple, I can only walk a road with somebody when I've got everything in place. You know, I'm just almost like Christ. You know, it's like just that last little bit. Then I'm qualified to disciple somebody else. And I just want to encourage us, guys. We can't wait till we're perfect before we walk a road with somebody. I want to actually say that the quicker we get on this road, the better. The best evangelist is the person who got saved 5 minutes ago. If you think about it, it's true in my life. You know, I told everybody what was happening. I actually hurt a few people because of lack of wisdom, but that didn't, you know. But there's a lot of grace for that at that stage. I ministered to my parents, whether they wanted to, yeah or not. I prayed for healing and stuff, and I went absolutely ballistic. And it's amazing because the point I'm making is that instead of thinking I have to have some theology degree or some title or some, you know, lots of knowledge and experience and guide everything perfect in my life before I will give any input, we need to get right in there and know that it's by the Spirit of God that we minister to one another. Okay, so it's not by our own experience or ministry knowledge or understanding. So let's just get rid of that lie of the devil. Okay, the devil would want you to think, I need to be perfect. So that means he keeps you isolated in your little huddle. We carry on reading, you know, we're growing, yes, maybe. There's some maturity happening, you know, maturing happening. But unless we minister to people, you know, what I was going to say is that the devil likes us to be there. If he can't get us to not follow Christ, then he's happy for us to be ineffective, just to stay there and not touch anybody else, okay? So, but for us to really to mature and to grow, we need to jump in there and we need to get into ministry and we need to minister to one another. That's why the scripture says, pray for one another, minister to one another, sing psalms and spiritual songs to one another. Really a place of maturing as we minister to one another. Okay, so no more only a few people share and bring testimony. I want to encourage everybody to take part. Okay, even in small group, everybody has something to share and everybody is equipped to make disciples. Obviously we grow in it, but there's no, you don't have to wait to start. Amen. Okay, we're with me. And then that basically the last bit that he says, disciples simply are people who are constantly revising their affairs to carry through on their decision to follow Jesus. And this is powerful because it's a constant process. It's not this is the three steps and then this is it, I'm done, I'm a disciple, so now I can cruise, type of, put it in neutral and just cruise for the rest of the way. It's a constant thing, and that's why it's so healthy at the beginning of the year to say, okay, Lord, what are those things? How can I become like Christ this year? What are the things that you want, what are your priorities for me to change in this life? And it's that word that Louise brought. You know, we have a way of planning and we have a way of ordering and kind of making plans. But God is the one that directs us in what He has prepared. So, yes, it's good to prepare and it's good to plan. It's good to have all those things happening, but when we submit that to God, He is able to direct us in the way that we should go. But to constantly revise our affairs. In other words, constantly revise what I do, how I live, where I stay, what I work, everything, so that I can make sure that I follow through on this thing to become like Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Okay. And then I want to quickly mention a scripture that I read on the last service, just to remind us of where Christ is coming from in terms of disciple making, in terms of obedience to the word. Read with me from Matthew chapter 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So very much focus on obedience, very much focus on doing the will of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Okay, so they focus on obedience, they focus on doing the will of God. And then he carries on. Now, Christ is, before where we started, there's a few other things that he mentioned, so you can actually read the whole chapter. But then he refers back to these things that he's been saying. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, okay, so hear and do, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be foolish. It will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. So we see the two things here, the focus on the obedience, and then you see Christ saying, okay guys, it's no use, we just hear and don't do. And remember we spoke about, I just want to recap a little bit, you know, how many of us know of people that have started so strongly in life, in their Christian walk, started strongly, ran, you know, grew incredibly. I can just, you know, if I just think I can come up with a few names of people that have really, I thought, wow, anointed, you know, so full of the Holy Spirit, running with God, so zealous for God, and then somehow something came, you know, something happened, and then they're not walking with God anymore. So we see, so we know that this happens, and we know that there are storms, even as Christ describes now, you know, there will be storms in life. That's actually something he guarantees. Okay, he says there will be tribulations, there will be tough times. When we follow Christ, there's going to be a cross that we're going to carry, and there are going to be difficult times. But then he says, be of good cheer. Okay, so you can all smile and relax. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But so there's going to be storms, all right? So we said, if you remember last time, we said, we cannot avoid the storms. If you think you're going to avoid them, sorry. Most of you sitting out look like you know that you can't avoid them. Okay, but so we know there will be storms. We know there's going to be things coming across our path that's going to shake our foundations. So we can't avoid the storms, but what we can do is we can build and we can grow and build in a way, as this picture that Jesus uses about the two houses, we can build in a way that will make our foundation stormproof. Even when we're building in our own lives and we're building in others' lives, whether you're walking as a disciple of Christ or whether you're leading somebody else and doing the same thing, we can make sure that we build in a way that will be storm resistant. Amen. So this is so we looked at some of those spiritual foundations last time, you know, how we make disciples. And one of the big things that we looked at was to come into a discipline of, once we have a revelation of the word, whatever it may be, when we get the revelation of the word of God, that we literally discipline ourselves and come to a habit of immediately implementing. Okay, and this is a discipline that is Yeah, it's challenging. But if we do not get to this simple discipline, it's going to be very tough later on. The point of, I read something in the Word, you know that place where the Scripture just jumps out at you and it hits you on the chest and you're like, my goodness, this is for me. Or when the guy's preaching or somebody at a small group is saying something and you think, did this guy read my file? You know, how did he know? You know, it's so specific for you. When that happens, to come into a place where we say, okay, I can't just hear and carry on. It's a discipline of saying, okay, God is speaking to me. I need to implement. Lord, how do I do this? How do I implement what you're saying to me? How do I actually implement the change? And I'm going to, we want to quickly look at that diagram I showed you. That's one we'll be looking at more often. It's beautiful. Anyway, no, it'll do for now. So we looked at the phases of discipleship. I want to re-challenge us. We're going to look at them in more detail going through the year at different times. But I want to encourage us to not only use this in terms of a self-assessment, but also to say, okay, the person that I'm walking with, where are they at? What can I trust God for in their life? So what this is a result of some research a lot of clever people did in America. So they interviewed a load of Christians and about spiritual growth and about your relationship with God. And what they found is that when people come to Christ, that first encounter with God, there's a growth spurt there. So there's a very good growth spurt. People have an encounter with God. They gain a lot of knowledge. Obviously, they get saved, and they learn a lot of things, and we grow rapidly. Okay, but if it only stays with that, encounters with God and that knowledge that we've encountered, it kind of plateaus, and it and people experience a bit of a lack of growth, just a kind of a plateau. So what they found is the next kind of spurt comes when there's a lifestyle change, when people establish certain lifestyle disciplines of being a disciple. Okay, so we looked at a few of those. Let's just start at the first phase. We looked at the things that are important in the first phase of encounter knowledge. Okay, and in our context, what does that mean? In our local context, that means church. That's where people can encounter God. It's at church services. At small group, people can encounter God. Obviously, when we do events and outreaches, we create opportunities for people to have an encounter with God, right? At the same time, at the Spiritual Growth Series, we have opportunities for people to grow in understanding, grow in knowledge, also to encounter God. And I want to encourage you, we're going to start soon with the next cycle of the Encounter Series. So if you know somebody that's keen, hang in there and make sure we get them registered. We'll set out the date soon. So there's Spiritual Growth Series, and obviously there's Bible School. So there's opportunities for people to grow in knowledge. There's opportunities for people to encounter God. Okay? And the other angle on this is, if this is the case, if this is what we're after, if we want somebody to encounter God, then what do we need to do differently in small group? Okay? Are people encountering God in small group? Are people encountering God in our events? Amen? Are you with me? So if you're a small group facilitator, you know, remember to think from the other side as well. Okay. Then the second bit, the lifestyle disciplines, and they found that if there aren't these specific lifestyle changes and disciplines that come into place, then the growth plateaus. But if those come into place, and obviously they don't happen in a specific order or anything, then this is, again, a very strong growth that happens. Some of those we mentioned was reading the Word, and we mentioned that as one of the key foundations, coming into the discipline of studying the Word and reading the Word. That's also partly what happens at the Spiritual Growth Series and at Bible School. Establishing and cultivating a capacity for the Word and a hunger for the Word. Okay, prayer, life of prayer, not only at you know, when we're together, but a constant prayer life, communion with God, communion with the Holy Spirit, understanding and a lifestyle of giving, whether it be resource-wise, time-wise, serving in church, serving people, serving in the community, okay? We've looked at accountability as a key part of that, and actually being a disciple, putting yourself in that position of being a disciple, and then also, like I mentioned before, ministering to others. Okay, guys, I'm kind of touching on these things quickly, but I want us to come to a place where we understand where we're going with this, where I'm going, where I'm growing to, but also the person that I'm walking with. Where are they at? What's coming next? What should I trust God for? Okay. So they're established in the Word, in prayer, in giving, in serving, in accountability, and coming to a place of actually ministering to others. Are you with me? So again, this is done. You don't have to wait till you the Pope before you pray for somebody. Or, hey, we've got a new Archbishop, right? What a blessing, guys. And I mean, not that, I mean, the person, the guy is a blessing, apparently. Joe knows him, so I'm good record there. But yeah, let's please pray for the new Archbishop. It's an important job. Amen. Okay. Why did I think of that now? Okay, yeah, you don't have to be the Archbishop before you can pray for somebody or encourage somebody, minister to somebody. Okay. All right, then, when what they found is if those things are in place, there's a strong growth spurt. But even then, there comes a place of stagnation, place of yes, you know, having encountered God, having gained knowledge, having established certain disciplines. But then again, there's a bit of a plateau that happens. And what they found is that what is needed for continual growth and almost kind of going into a growth spiral is for us to take ownership of ministry, of the kingdom, of the mandate that God has given us. And again, in our local context, what does that mean for us? How do I take ownership of something? In terms of where you're serving in church or in the community, is this something that God is laying on your heart that you can take charge of? Are you taking ownership of walking a road with somebody? Not just for a week or two, but you know, a bit more of a discipleship road. And I was asking myself, well, how do we measure that? How do we measure ownership? Because we all have, we committed people. You know that thing about the commitment. It's a bit of a joke, but when you think about breakfast, the difference between commitment and a contribution. Have you heard that one? The chicken makes a contribution, but the pig is committed. You get me? Okay. So there the anyways, so not get distracted, but so taking ownership, I was saying, how do we measure that? How do we measure ownership? And I reckon one of the key things to kind of investigate, to test your heart is, how much time am I spending at the foot of the cross, in the presence of God, of Jesus, about this thing? Are you with me? How much am I interceding? Am I there on my knees before God about this thing? Or is it just something I think about now and then? And ownership, I reckon, is that thing where I spend time in prayer about it because it's on my heart. I've got a personal vested interest. There's a personal faith goal that I've set out for this thing. If this thing, you know, I'm setting out, I'm putting out my faith, I'm stretching my faith for this thing to happen, for this person to grow, for this small group to flourish. Are you with me? That's kind of where ownership comes in. And the other thing that I've felt is that it costs me something. When we take ownership of something, it's not going to be for free. Okay, let's just be honest about that. if you've ever had a project, or if you've, you know, we being young parents, having children, it costs something. Not only in resource-wise, but in a lot of ways. Yes, it costs something. So when we take ownership of somebody or something, we know it's going to cost. It's and you know, that's what makes it precious. Have you noticed that? It's when we, when there's something costs us something, when we, there's something we sacrifice for, that's when it really means something to us. Are you with me this morning? So I want to encourage us this morning, you know, to firstly, as a body, but also as individuals, to look at, to assess, okay, where am I at? Am I walking with somebody? Am I serving? Am I, where am I at in terms of that picture we had on there? But also, us as a body, and there's a few things that we, I want us to commit to as a family. I want us to commit to commit to growth. We prayed about this end of last year, but I want to just reestablish that, that we as a church family, as leaders and as members and as all part of the family, that we say to each other, yes, we want to be like Christ. We commit to grow. We commit to change, which we know is not going to be comfortable, and we know we'll have some repercussions, but we are committed to that. And secondly, we commit to becoming disciples that make disciples. Okay. So, yes, I want to be a disciple. I want to be like Jesus. And that means, by implication, that not only am I going to grow, but I'm going to walk with somebody else to grow as well. Are you with me? Okay, we'll get there. So those are the two key things that I felt we just need to bring before God this morning. So if you could stand, please. We're going to pray together. Yeah, and I want to encourage us, as we, you know, this is the first week of the year. In terms of the word, I just stayed in my heart to encourage you. If you want to start a program, what often helps is if you want to say commit to reading through the word, through the Bible in a year. There's a lot of reading programs available. One that I've enjoyed is one that is chronological, so it starts as it happened. Okay, so you read a bit of Genesis and a bit of Job and a bit of Psalms, you know, and it kind of does it kind of more chronological. The Bible, as we read it now, is not chronological. It's not way out, but it's not exactly. So this reading plan kind of helps you to read through it chronologically, but there are different reading plans available. And if you need one of those, if you're keen to do something like that, I've got a lot of available. So you can just contact me. And last year some of the guys in Stellenbosch had a group on Facebook and they did it together. So I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of that or start something like that, to let me know. We can encourage one another in it. But it's this exciting year. I'm really expectant. Just driving here this morning, I was just I just felt such an expectation in the spirit. And I encourage you, as Lou also brought the word, God has prepared something for us. And he's a good God, and he is our Father. And every good and perfect gift comes from him. And if I think about that, and if I think about my heart for Abigail and wanting the best for her, and wanting to bless her, wanting to see her flourish, how much more does our Father in heaven want to see us flourish this year? How much more? And this is something I want to encourage you with in terms of your setting out our faith, setting out our expectations, saying, God, this year, I want to walk in the fullness of what you have for me every day. I want to walk in the fullness of that inheritance. I want to walk in the fullness of your provision. But not only that, I want to walk in the fullness of the mandate that you've given me. The part that I have to play in the bigger scheme, in your plan. Let's pray together this morning. God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, for the beginning of this year, Lord, that we can look to you. And God, there's such a joy in us, Lord. There's such a thankfulness, but there's also such an expectation, God. And this morning, I thank you for a deposit, Lord, of that hope that you put in us, Lord. The as your word says, that faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, God. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. We thank you for that substance in us that we hope for, that even that we cannot see yet, Lord, but we know that you have promised it, God. And this morning we thank you for your promises, Lord. We thank you that your word says that your promises are yes and amen, Lord, and that you are faithful, God. And yeah, this morning I thank you for an awakening of an expectation in our hearts, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you lift up our eyes to see what is possible when we step into the realm of the impossible, which is your realm, Father, where you operate, God. Lord, and we thank you that this year that nothing is out of reach, Lord. Nothing is impossible for you, Lord. And we just come this morning, and I thank you that you deposit in our hearts a hope and an excitement and expectation for this year, Lord. Not only, Lord, to grow personally, Father, but to grow as a family, to grow in our discipling of others, Lord, and being disciples ourselves, God. And Lord, we just, as a family, we bring these things before you that we discussed this morning. We bring to you this, we declare, Lord, that we commit to the process of being conformed to the image of your Son, Lord. It is our desire, Lord, to commit to this, Lord. And as when the angel came to speak to Mary, Lord, just before she became pregnant with Jesus, as she said, her response was, May it be unto me according to your word, Lord. And this morning we know you've destined us to become like Jesus. And this morning as a congregation we say, may it be unto us according to your word, God, that we might become like Christ, Lord. We might be conformed to the image of your Son. And Lord, we extend our faith this morning, Lord, that we will be disciples that make disciples, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for a boldness to step out of our comfort zone. Lord, we thank you for a boldness to reach out to the people that you've already put around us, Lord. And every one of us, there are people that you've put around us, Lord, you've prepared that are ready, that we could walk with them, that we can disciple them, Lord. And we thank you for those, Lord. And we pray for an opening up of our eyes, God. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, to see you, Lord, to see what you're doing, Lord. And that we would walk with you, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this word, and we thank you for fruit in our lives, God. In Jesus' name, amen.